Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you're doing great today. We'd like to give a quick shout out to Winter Garden, Florida.
Yeah, Winter Garden.
Winter Garden. Yes.
Where's that at?
Orange County, Florida. Oh. Kind of close to Orlando.
Sweet.
Yeah, looks really nice.
Sweet.
Currently, it is 85 degrees there.
Nice.
Yes, yes, yes.
57 here in Lynchburg.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're so thankful for Winter Garden. Thank you so much for listening. You can check us out at graceintheshadowsor.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645, or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadowsor.org.
Got some dad jokes.
Of course you do.
Dad, can you put my shoes on? No, I don't think they'll fit me.
Oh, wow.
Here's another one. Why can't a nose be 12 inches long?
I don't know.
Because then it would be a foot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You want another one since it's so bad?
Not really, but I'm sure.
Oh, right. What does a lemon say when it answers the phone? Yellow.
Oh, wow.
All right.
They get worse and worse, folks. Yeah. Okay. Well, today when we are recording this, it is March the 8th, 2024. So we have some This Day in History. In 1999, Baseball Hall of Famer Joe DiMaggio died.
I remember that.
Yep.
He was a great baseball player.
He was. In 1965, the first U.S. combat troops arrived. Hello, in Vietnam.
Hmm. Wow.
Yes. Oh, in 1948, the Supreme Court ruled that religious instruction in public schools violated the Constitution.
Wow.
Yes.
And in the process, they violated our rights.
Right. Very true. All right. So that's some today, this day in history, folks. All
interesting.
Right. So what are we talking about today?
We're going into 2 Samuel 7. We're talking about David's future kingdom.
All right.
The millennial kingdom.
Okay. Let's do it.
2 Samuel 7. If you would read 1 through 3.
Okay. 2 Samuel 7, 1-3. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you."
So here you have, now this was obviously after all the battles and wars and conflict that David fought.
Correct.
Because there was some peace here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so the king, which is David, you know, notices how he's in this fancy house. Cedar was very expensive, and it was for like the mighty, the wealthy, the affluent. Mm-hmm. And David had this fancy, spancy home.
Yes.
But then David, being the man after God's own heart, starts thinking of God.
Right.
I mean, go figure.
True, true.
He's a man after God's own heart, so you can kind of think that. And he's thinking about how the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of God,
right,
you know, dwells inside these tent curtains.
Yeah.
And, you know, he brought the Ark back. Mm-hmm. He made Jerusalem the political capital, and he brought the Ark back for the center of their faith as the Jews.
True, true.
And so he really was concerned because here he is in a fancy house and God is out there in a tent. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of see his point.
I can see his point too. Definitely.
You know, this is an interesting time because David, we're going to be talking about something called the Davidic covenant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Go ahead and read 4-6.
Okay. But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling."
So God is saying here, basically, you know, I chose you as a shepherd boy.
Right.
And I showed you as a shepherd boy. And basically, David's thinking, man, I'm not worthy.
Correct.
Who am I to be the king of Israel and serve God as a this measly shepherd boy. This is how God can take a mess and turn it into a message. And he can take a small little shepherd boy that was kind of forgotten by his dad, Jesse, and his brothers, and turn him into the king of Israel.
Amazing to think about.
So in 8 and 9, it talks about God is saying that, you know, I have been in tents for a long time and I haven't asked for anything.
Right. And I guess Nathan kind of jumped the gun up in verse 2 because he said, in verse 3, rather, he said, whatever you have in mind, go do it. And he didn't even really stop and ask God. He just said, go for it.
Well, Nathan was a prophet, and specifically, he was a prophet in the political court system.
Okay,
of where the kings were.
Right,
he probably was trained and mentored and taught by Samuel.
Absolutely,
and we know that he was a prophet to Saul as well.
Right,
and so here he is with David, and you know what the qualification for a prophet was?
Remind me.
It was 100%. If you were wrong once, you were stoned to death.
Oh.
But this wasn't a prophecy. Okay. This was just... Nathan's just looking at everything he does gets blessed.
Yeah.
And Nathan is just saying, well, you might as well.
Right.
You know, he wasn't prophesying. He was just giving some encouragement, I believe.
It
was
like, go for it.
And, and he wasn't perfect. He was a prophet. Right. His prophecies were perfect.
Yes.
But he wasn't perfect.
Absolutely.
So he gave some advice, kind of maybe...
Off the cuff.
Off the cuff.
Yeah.
Not correct. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Go ahead and read 10 through 11.
All right. 10 through 11. Okay. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time of I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you.
You know, interesting enough, God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of them, the land of Israel.
Right.
He promised them, it's called the Abrahamic Covenant, which he promised Abraham that he would bless him with a land and with a people. He promised his son Isaac that he would do the same, and he promised Jacob the same.
Right.
And so this is not the first time this has been said.
Correct.
So he's promising a kingdom. Mm-hmm. He's promising him a house. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I thought he already had a house.
Hmm.
Didn't he have a fancy, spancy cedar home?
Yes, he did.
And so this is talking about the dynasty.
Ah.
The dynasty of David. David is talked about more than any other in the Bible.
Right.
And so the Davidic kingdom was a promise that God would rule. God would set up a kingdom and there would be no pain, no sin, no conflict.
Right.
No, everyone would be wealthy, everyone would be taken care of, and everybody would be the Jerusalem would be the center of the world.
Hmm.
This has not happened yet.
That's what I was about to say. I think this must have been a future thing.
Yes, there's with this, you have two aspects to this.
All right.
Oftentimes in the Bible, prophecy had a immediate immediate fulfillment, and it had a future fulfillment.
Oh, okay.
It could have been a parallel or dual.
Ah.
So with this, when we see this, it's talking about Solomon immediately.
Okay.
That Solomon would, we're going to see in a little bit here, how he would build the temple.
Okay.
How David would not build the temple.
Right.
We're going to see why that happened.
Okay.
And how Solomon would have peace.
Mm-hmm.
Although he would not fulfill this, it would not be an everlasting peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not be, there would not be total peace for eternity as it's mentioned in this prophecy. That would only be fulfilled through Jesus.
Got it.
So basically, this is talking about Solomon and Christ.
How interesting. Okay, yeah. Cool.
1 Chronicles 22, 8 through 10 says, but the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name because you have shed much blood on earth in my sight. A son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest. He shall build a house in mine for my name. Now, David would be the one that would get things ready for his son.
Okay.
He would be getting the wood. He would be getting all the tools. And a lot of times we don't realize that our greatest ministry is not what we do, but who we raise.
It's the preparation. It's kind of like Moses and Joshua.
Yes.
Because Moses, you know, he got angry and all that, but he was not able to lead the Israelites directly into the promised land. That was passed down to Joshua. So you kind of see this going on several times in the Bible.
And so, yeah, David has not stopped his mission. His mission was one of war. And it had to be that way.
Right. And he's preparing.
Right.
And just like sometimes, you know, when we share the gospel with people, we're preparing them to eventually receive Christ.
I might have a heart for Congo and Africa. Right. I'm just throwing something out there.
Yeah.
But my son may be the one that actually goes there.
Right.
I'm just saying that as an example.
Absolutely. It's a good example.
Because sometimes God prepares the next generation. Mm-hmm. Through the one generation that's alive now.
Well, you have to have plans to carry something out. So correct. It's just as important, I feel.
So David, so once again, Nathan spoke a little hastily.
He did.
Read 12 through 17.
Okay. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offering to succeed you, to succeed your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever. Before me, your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation.
So it talks about here, you know, it talks about in Genesis, you said offspring, but in my version, it says seed, which is similar, but it has a different aspect. Right. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it talks about the seed of the woman that would come and crush the seed. The serpent's head, which is talking about Jesus. Now we see the seed coming through David, the offspring of David, coming from his body, his genealogy, and he will establish a kingdom. Now, directly, immediately, this is talking about Solomon.
Right.
He shall build a house for my name. Okay, Solomon will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. No. This is talking about Jesus.
Yeah, I've read this so many times. And as I was reading it out loud, I was like, huh, you probably saw me pause a little bit. I'm like, huh, this sounds like Jesus being flogged and wow.
Yeah, this is talking right here. We're going into another aspect to the prophecy. And a lot of people are like, why didn't God just be blunt about this?
Right.
Well, I think there's two reasons. Number one, he wants us to research the scriptures.
Right.
And he wants us to know his word and seek his face. Yes. Number two, I think it's also to confuse the devil and his buddies.
Absolutely.
So they don't know for sure what the prophecy is.
True. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Pretty smart.
Yeah. And so this seed, so it says, if he commits iniquity. Now, this is talking about Solomon here. Okay. Right. And I think you could even talk about, I'll mention that. I'll come back to that.
Okay.
But he's talking about Solomon and all those kings after Solomon. When they go against his word and they go against, he will send prophets. He will also send the Babylonians that will actually take them out of their land as chastisement for turning their backs and being disobedient to God.
Absolutely.
But it's also Jesus would be chastised for us, for our sins.
Oh, yes.
And he would be flogged for our sins on the cross, mm-hmm. for God so loved the world
right.
that he gave his own and only son. Mm-hmm. So, but mercy shall not depart from him.
Right.
As I took it from Saul. Now then he says, in your house and your kingdom shall be established forever. Mm. This is not conditional. This is unconditional.
Right.
He made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to Isaac, and he made a promise to Jacob, mm-hmm. and he made a promise to David.
Yes, he did.
That he would establish his kingdom, Israel. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I will say this, that you will see that after the Babylonians took the Jews out of Israel, the kingdom of Israel has never come back.
Right.
Until May 14th. 1948.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we're close.
I think so too. And I just think it's really cool how you see the foreshadowing of what's going to happen, you know, with Jesus and coming to earth and everything like this in these verses about David and Solomon. It's just really cool. And you have to really pay attention.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I want to read you some of the scriptures that are the Abrahamic covenant.
Okay.
Just, I don't want people to take my word for it. I want people to know what the scripture says.
Oh, yeah, they need to study it.
Genesis 14 through 17. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are. Look north and south, east, west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Hence, mm-hmm. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through length and breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you.
Right.
That was not a condition. That was unconditional.
Yes.
In Eden, that was conditional. Mm-hmm. If you don't eat this, you'll live. If you eat this, you'll die.
Right.
But this is unconditional. It's not based on Israel's faithfulness.
No.
It's based on God's.
And God's always faithful.
He is. Yes. He is. Genesis 15, 1 through 7, I won't read all that, but people that are listening can go back and read it. Mm-hmm. Genesis 17, 1 through 8, Genesis 17 and 19 through 21. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as well, mm-hmm. an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be like the father of 12 rulers. That's Saudi Arabia, by the way. Ah. And I will make him into a great nation as well. But my covenant will be established with Isaac from Sarah, will bear to you by this time next year. God affirmed it with Isaac, Genesis 26, 2 through 6. Genesis 28, 10 through 12. Jacob. The Lord, then above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, God of Isaac, and I will give you your descendants the land of which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. See, he's already assuming they're going to be cast out.
Right.
All over the world. I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. Mm-hmm. This is spectacular. And we are part of that. We've been grafted in as the church.
That's pretty cool.
To be grafted in all those people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Genesis 35, 10 through 12. You can read that. And powerful, powerful. Mm-hmm. So your throne, David, will be established forever. Yeah. In a prophecy that Jacob did, Genesis 49, he made a prophecy before he died in his deathbed.
Yes.
And he said, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return the prey of my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness who dares to rouse up. There's the one, the scepter. What's a scepter?
It's like what the king holds up to let people in or not in.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is saying a king would come out of Judah.
Yeah.
Will not depart Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. Mm. So that king would come out of Judah. Mm-hmm. David came out of Judah.
He did.
And who else came out of Judah?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. Also in Luke chapter 1, 31 through 33, this is what the angel says. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, Mary. Mm-hmm. Bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mm-hmm. So there is a future kingdom. Matter of fact, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 talks about the Christmas verse, right? Mm-hmm. For unto us a son is born.
I love it.
Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and upon the throne of David and over a kingdom to order to establish it from that time forward forevermore. This is talking about the future kingdom of David.
Yeah.
Now, if we understand 2 Samuel 7 and the Davidic covenant, we understand what's coming in the future.
Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. You can see, like, from the garden, it's like just this line that just goes, you know, you've got Adam and Eve and everything that happened with them, and then Noah, and then Abraham, and then David, and then Jesus. And you just see it going throughout history. It's really cool.
So what we're looking for as a church, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying all the Jews are going to heaven. They're not.
No.
Because they have to receive Christ. That will happen later in the book of Revelation.
Right.
But what I am saying is that the kingdom of God is being prepared. And one of the major signs is the nation of Israel, the Jews coming back from all over the world where they were scattered mm-hmm. to the land of Israel.
Right.
And Jerusalem being the capital. I mean, we're seeing some very, very awesome things. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. And people have really got to pay attention to what's going on in the world and compare it to the Bible and what God said. And you can see the signs of the time are here.
Absolutely. I'm yeah. excited because, you know, we're going to reign with Jesus in this kingdom.
Amen.
I want to give you, before we head off, because, yeah. I'm just fired up about this
I
one.
I can tell, and it's awesome.
Is what the kingdom will be like in the millennial yeah, kingdom.
I can't wait.
People don't, they think we go to heaven and that's it. We're coming back with Christ and we're going to reign with him in the yeah. Davidic kingdom that was promised to David mm-hmm. 2,500 years ago.
Right.
The first thing is Christ will rule the earth from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. When Donald Trump endorsed that Jerusalem be the capital mm-hmm. Way back several years ago, mm-hmm. that was a fulfillment of prophecy pointing to this.
So even if you and I don't get to Israel, we will someday, right?
We will. We yeah. will. It talks about the whole world coming to Israel.
Yeah.
Joel 3:17. If you people want to go there, Zechariah 14:9. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to read this for time's sake, but even Isaiah 35, 1 through 10, people can go back and look at this. Also, in the millennial kingdom, animals will be at peace with others, with all of us.
That's going to be fun.
I'll read this because it just makes me really excited.
Okay.
Isaiah 11, 6 through 7, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatting together.
Mm-hmm.
The little boy will lead them, and the cow and the bear will graze, and their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. There's another one in Isaiah where it talks about the nursing child will play with the hole of the cobra, mm-hmm. and the weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den, and it will be peaceful, and there will be no need of anti-venom.
So I'll have my cow.
You can. maybe even a pet dinosaur. I think a lot of our animals... Some yeah. of them that have passed may even be there.
Won't that be cool?
Yeah.
Oh, to think about it. We could just ride on a brontosaurus.
Oh, yeah. All the earth will know God.
Amen.
All the earth. Matter of fact, earth. There will be times of the year that everyone will come and worship Jesus. Isaiah 11:9, they will not hurt nor destroy my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Can you think about how cool like Christmas and Easter will be? Because he'll be right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
I'm really
excited.
Amazing.
You know, the world, we feel like it's falling apart. But if you're a Christian,
yeah.
it's falling in place.
Absolutely. It is. Yeah.
Vegetation will flourish. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 34:26 talks about it's going to be like the Garden of Eden.
Right.
We're not going to have thorns. We're not going to have to cut the grass. We're not going
to.
It's going to be awesome.
Right.
Joel 3:18, people, individuals will live hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
they will have longevity.
Yes.
Of course, we as believers in an immortal body, we won't die.
No.
But and I don't want to get too far off, but there will be individuals that come out of the tribulation that will still have mortal bodies.
Right.
They won't have glorified bodies till after the millennial kingdom.
It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
There will be no more sickness or disabilities, Down syndrome, miscarriages. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can look at that, Isaiah 29:18. Isaiah 65:23, that they will not labor in vain. There'll be no more blind, no more deaf. Mm. So this is an awesome, awesome thing. The millennial kingdom will not be boring. Time with Jesus will not be boring. Everything we're doing now is preparation, the classroom for eternity with God, what we'll be doing forever.
Right.
And we should be passionate and excited because really the beginning starts when we die.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we start living.
Yes.
Let that sink in.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about all this, Dr. Marla? I know I went off on a tangent.
No, it was a great tangent to go off on. I mean, I've read this chapter, 2 Samuel 7, many, many times. Mm-hmm. And just seeing it with fresh eyes today and seeing, you know, the prophecy of Christ has just been really cool. So I'm glad that we did this. And this study can definitely help us remember that.
God can take your mess, turn to a message for his glory, for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. Have a great day. Goodbye.